So yeah, like last night I did that crazy parlay with Ohio State and I won. And you're saying like, yeah, we need to go into we need to go into next week and the DFS show and stuff. You need to be on like a hot streak. So I did another parlay today, and like I said, I even did a NASCAR bet today. I did some 5 cent lineups on FanDuel, and I even did an outright winner. I think I took like Joey Logano.
I'm still mind blown that you can do DFS for NASCAR.
Yeah, dude, it's awesome.
I'm gonna enter the AEW pay-per-view DraftKings free entry tonight.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, NASCAR gets pretty intense though with DFS lineups because there's a lot more to scoring than you would think. It's just like laps. No, it's like if you start from the back of the pack, you get points for every time you move up a spot in the position. So if someone crashes and you go up a way ahead, you can go from like 36th position to second. That's like 40 points. You also
What?
get point. You also get points for like how many laps you lead and stuff like that. It's pretty crazy.
Do you get points taken off for pit stops?
Well, you lose position, so yeah, then you would lose points. So,
Damn, that's fucking awesome.
but everyone else got a pit, so it's back and forth. It's pretty cool.
All right, so now that we've established the degeneracy that we've got going on here, this is TH Fantasy. Episode 47. I'm Tony. This is Ryan. Craig's here.
Hello. You know what's really cool is like today I woke up and it was like super dreary out. It's not that hot. It's kind of cool. I got those football vibes in the
Yep.
weather air today.
Oh yeah. It feels like fall. It feels like a fall Sunday right now, and this is our last fall Sunday without a full slate of football to look forward to until like next year.
Yeah, literally next year.
That's so awesome. So we're gonna do to start our tradition, episode 47. Ryan, I want you to start because my 47 is a lot.
That's fine. Yeah, I've got I just went chalk this week and I took a stereotypical Hall of Famer. I didn't go deep or anything looking. I did try to look for some, but the 47 pool was there wasn't a lot of information on a lot of these guys enough to talk 3 minutes about,
Sure.
But so this week I did Mr. Mel Blount.
There
Mel
we
Blount.
go. Mel Blunt.
Hall of Fame cornerback for the Pittsburgh Steelers his entire career, 1970 to 1983. 14 seasons.
Impressive.
As we all know, the Steelers in the 70s were a force to be reckoned with. He has 4 Super Bowl rings from those 1970s Pittsburgh Steelers teams. And one in 1975 was his best year. He actually had 11 interceptions that year, which is his best year, and he led the NFL in interceptions that year. On
Damn.
his career, he has 57 total interceptions and 736 total interception yards, only 2 touchdowns, but that's all right.
Sure.
Early on in his career, he was actually used as a kick returner too. He's got 911 yards as a kick returner.
Very nice.
He started off when he was super young, an all-around awesome athlete, just in like everything. He was in track, baseball, like every sport he could play in high school he was on, and he was like a star in all of it. So in 1970, he was drafted in the third round by the Steelers. He didn't start until 1972. He got
Okay.
a chance to start. And guess what? That year, he didn't allow a single touchdown.
Very nice.
Yes. He's actually one of a handful or two handfuls of players that actually have an NFL rule named after them.
Really?
Yes, because he was considered one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL because of his style of play on the bump and run defense. He'd
Okay.
basically like harass the receiver while he was, just trying to defend them or defend the pass. And he was known for a lot of physical contact and stuff like that. So midway through his career, I don't remember what year, but they created the Mel Blount rule, which basically made it illegal for like physical harassment and of the receiver, like when you're coming off the coverage. And it's something about, I don't think it's necessarily to deal with like holding of the receiver. It's just like physical, maybe it's that physical contact within the first 5 or 10 yards.
Or yeah, something like an illegal contact, you can't touch someone after they go a certain amount of yards.
Right, right. So that rule was created because of him, because he would basically just get on you right off the bat. And they wanted to make it a little bit easier, I guess, for the receiver.
I love when defensive backs do that. Like the Legion of Boom's whole thing in Seattle was, we are going to hold you on every single play, and we're going to make the refs call us for it every single play. And they won't do it because that would slow down the game. But right. They're like, we're still going to do it. We're going to hold every play. Like that's, I love that shit.
So he had a pretty good career in the NFL. He was inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame in 1989. So that was only, 5 years after he finished playing. So he was a pretty good player. After football, he was the NFL director of player relations from right when he retired in 1983 until 1990. And he also was very into charity and like helping out the youth in Georgia. He's from like a small town and somewhere in Georgia. So he set up a bunch of like youth homes to help, you know, kids that their parents abandon them or stuff like that. And not too much of an interesting side note, but it did say like that his homes were investigated for like corporal punishment later on. But
oh boy.
Yeah. So it wasn't,
oh no.
Wasn't the best to like, you're like reading all this stuff about, oh, he's did so much good for charity. And then it says like, later on, he was investigated as youth homes for corporal punishment. So,
oh, no.
But he cared about the kids.
Yeah, he personally wasn't investigated for doing it himself.
Not himself, but yeah.
Mel Blount.
Interesting, very interesting cornerback. It says considered one of the greatest cornerbacks in the NFL. I guess you have to be if there's a rule created after you.
I agree. I also have a cornerback this week. My cornerback for you is Leroy Irvin, the Iceman.
Interesting.
So I'm not going to spend too much time talking about his younger years. We'll just go right to the league. He was drafted by the Rams in 1980, and he played there for 9 out of his 10 years, like his first 9 years. 1981, Leroy Irvin breaks the NFL record for most punt return yards in a single game with 207 against the Atlanta Falcons.
For real? Not even Devin Hester has that record?
No. He took 3 punts back for touchdowns that season. He had 2 in that game. And I watched a video on it, and Leroy Irvin was like, I would have scored a third time, but I was too tired because I was playing defense.
That's funny.
He was a Pro Bowler in 85 and 86. He was first team All-Pro 3 times, second team All-Pro. He's one of the few players to ever be named an All-Pro in 2 separate positions, one as cornerback and one as defensive back. So that's like pretty cool, but I'm like, man, I want to find like something cool about this guy. So sure. I found the 1986 LA Rams promotional video that they made for the upcoming season.
What?
And it's a rap song, and it's titled Let's Ram It. So Leroy Irvin has a verse in the song, and it's right before Eric Dickerson. So, you know, he's a big deal. Now I looked it up and it's fucking awesome. But I can't play it because it's copyright infringement.
Okay.
So I re-recorded Leroy Irvin's voice and made a version of Let's Ram It. And I sent it to you. So it's very 1980s rap, and we're going to play it. But I wanted to get Ryan's live reaction. And it's very, very 80s rap. So go ahead, Ryan. Hit that shit.
I'll play it. Tony sent me it last night. He's like, don't open it. Just I wanna hear what you say on the podcast. So here we go.
Iceman's coming, Leroy's the name. I cover the corner, interception my game. I score more than anybody else on the D, cause I move like a cat, as you will see.
That was all you could play?
That's me.
That was you?
That's me rapping. I wrote down his lines and I recreated the song as best I could, and I recreated his verse.
Oh my god, that is you.
So yeah, that's that.
That is since awesome.
I decided to re-record it because we can't play it legally. All right, let's move on. In 1986, because it gets weirder from here. Let's ram it. Is not the weirdest thing that happens here. So there's a cool play in 1986 where he, in the fourth quarter, late in the game, he gets a pick six to give the Rams the lead, and then intercepts the quarterback again on the very next play. I'm not sure if that's ever been done again, but that was pretty cool. In 1987, he was considered a top cornerback and felt like he wasn't being paid like it. And they talked about how much he was getting paid, and it's true. He was getting paid like shit. He got an extension, but signed it cheap because he had to pay off a loan and then held out after signing his deal. He comes back in August and he's still pissed, demands a trade. And then pulls back his trade request 2 weeks later. So the Rams in 1987 are terrible. Near the end of the year, after the lockout, Irvin called in sick one day. And he still says to this day that he was actually sick. But the team cleans out his locker and deactivates him, because they're like, he's being a diva and trying to not show up. So the day before the trade deadline, he says goodbye to his teammates. He says goodbye to the coach. There's even a news article headline that says, Irvin says farewell to Rams, awaits deal. You know who he got traded to?
Bears.
He didn't get traded. They didn't fucking trade him.
Oh, no.
So then they suspend him for conduct detrimental to the team.
Wow.
And then reinstate him a week later. And then in his first game back after this whole mess, he wins the game with a fourth quarter interception against Washington. Irvin signs another extension at the end of the year, plays three more seasons, one in LA, one uneventful year in Detroit. He's retired and he's done a bunch of stuff. You know how I know he's done a bunch of stuff?
Because he did stuff with him.
I found his LinkedIn page.
He has a LinkedIn page?
Yeah, so here's my favorite of his jobs that I found listed on his LinkedIn page. Partner at Country Smooth Whiskey. Here's his description. Eric Dickerson and I have partnered with a new American whiskey company owned by Lori Karsich, and our initial launch is early 2016. Our whiskey is smooth, distilled in Indiana and bottled in Tennessee. We are in the process of acquiring a distributor for our products. Our sales force is actively syncing restaurants, bars, venues, stadiums, golf fence, etc. He also has like End Zone Mortgage and Touchdown Realty, shit like that. So this is we have a first twice for Leroy Irvin. First time that I've ever had to recreate a 1980s promotional rap song, and also the first of the players that we've profiled that I have found on LinkedIn.
Nice.
So that's Leroy Irvin, the Iceman.
Now we might have to have you like do a rap for every show.
That's what I was afraid of. was like this was gonna go well and I'm gonna have another thing to do. All right, let's move on. Let's talk football, like current football. Since the last time we spoke, Ryan, there's been the cleaning up of the rosters. The 53-man rosters have been pretty much finalized. So there's a couple of players that moved after the cutdown that I want to ask you about.
Okay.
So Trey Sermon was cut from San Francisco and picked up by the Eagles. What do you think?
For a run team, I think maybe Sermon could break out as an Eagle. For some reason, it didn't translate well in Frisco. I don't know why, because that's a run-heavy team too. Maybe it was just the coach. Maybe he just got off to a bad foot and the coach just like automatically had a bad heart for him, so didn't give him a chance. You know, stuff like that happens. Because I remember watching him at Ohio State He was really good. So I don't understand why that never translated to the NFL last year. But
I wonder if his presence just eats into like everyone's a tiny bit.
I think so.
I don't think he plays very much. I really don't. But
he's only going to get a chance if Gainwell goes out or Sanders goes out.
Well, I always worried that if Sanders got hurt, the guy that would get most of the carries would be Boston Scott.
Yeah, that's what everyone says, but isn't Boston Scott getting old?
He's good enough, man. And I think that I honestly think if something were to happen to Sanders, that Trey Sermon and Boston Scott would be the workload. So I think it just muddies shit up like maybe like 5% more.
It gives them more depth to help them with injury. That's all.
Speaking of nightmare backfield situations outside of the starter, let's talk about Sony Michel to the Chargers. Austin Eckler's Austin Eckler no matter what. Isaiah Spiller managers in shambles, you think?
Maybe. And honestly, I don't know why he was cut from the Dolphins. I mean, they don't have that great of a backfield, and I feel like Sony Michel wasn't that bad. He was doing all right when he got traded to the Rams last year. He played in a few games and did okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know why that didn't translate. I mean, we're talking about Miami's backfield, Hassan Haskins, and who else?
No, Miami's backfield was Chase Edmonds, Raheem Mostert, Miles Gaskin, Salvon Ahmed, who got cut, and Sony Michel. So it sounds like they're going to have three running backs to start the year.
Yeah.
So now the Chargers is a mess because behind Eckler, you've got Spiller, Justin Jackson, Sony Michel, all working for those other spots. So that's, I don't think that Isaiah Spiller is the primary handcuff in LA. I think if Eckler goes down, it's still going to be a backfield by committee then.
Yeah. Probably also makes interesting fact. Probably also makes Sony Michel the person who has traveled the most, because he went from LA to Miami back to LA. Probably the most miles for any free agent this year.
Yeah, and remember, he was in New England too, so he goes East Coast, That's West right. Coast, yeah. East Coast, West Coast. So next year, expect him to play for the Giants. Yes. So something I'm actually a little interested in, especially interested about your take, Kenyon Drake getting cut and then picked up by the Ravens?
Yeah, I've never been that big of a Kenyon Drake guy. It's just another same situation like the Eagles, where Baltimore is just a huge, heavy run team, and they just need like four or five running backs in case of injury. It's no more than a roster spot, Phil. Just I don't see him making the Ravens any better than they are. But
I think there's a chance he could be a third down back, but Baltimore doesn't necessarily use third down backs very much. We'll see. It's usage I'm interested in monitoring, because if he's out there on third downs, that's something I'm interested in.
Yeah, I'd like to see him get some screens or something like that.
What do you think about O.J. Howard to the Texans?
It's the fucking Texans. We'll see. We'll see.
I honestly think of all the guys that were like post 53-man roster cutdowns, I think he's the one that's most likely to have a fantasy impact this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's competing with what, Jordan Brevins or
Brevin Jordan?
Brevin Jordan, yeah.
No, Jordan Brevins and Jordan Brevins. I think isn't I'm not too worried about the who is now the third tight end on Houston, so I'm not going to put any more mental energy towards it. But I think O.J. Howard is the day one starting tight end, right?
I would think so. Other than the fact, the only reason I could see maybe not is if Mills feels more chemistry with his teammate from last year, Jordan Brevins.
So with Ricky Seals-Jones being cut, is Daniel Bellinger is now the tight end one in New York.
That's my boy. I've been waiting for this.
I know that like you must feel like a proud papa, because this is a guy that you looked up on your own and said, I like this guy.
Right. And of course I researched him, and like, you know, he at one point retired from college because of concussions, and then of course last week he gets a concussion. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's a little terrifying. So that's kind of just some house cleaning, so to speak, like wrapping up. Rosters are now pretty much set. The games start by the time you hear this in what, like 3 days, 4 days. So no new things should really hop out unless there are some injuries.
Right. I am really excited though for, I think this is probably the best Thursday night matchup to start the year that's ever that I can remember in the last 10 years for Thursday night football.
They have some, I love the first Thursday night game of the year. It's always like one team that lost in the playoffs and the other team that won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's always a great way to start the year.
And we're all going to be like playing DFS and playing all these lineups, and the end score of that game is probably going to be like 13 to 10.
Oh yeah. Oh, for sure.
We're all going to expect like a 42 to 37 shootout, but no.
Right, we're going to expect it to be Buffalo, Kansas City from last year's playoffs.
Right.
So, last but not least, so we had our big money league draft last week, and I like my team, and you like your team, and we don't really want to talk about, I don't want to be like, look, this is my team. Let's talk about some guys that we got that we've been targeting this year. And hopefully the people listening
I'll start with a guy that I haven't been targeting that Tony loves, but for some reason fell to me and I had no choice but to take him. We'll talk about AJ Brown. I've been talking shit about him all this year podcast about I don't think he's going to translate well. He's going to have some regression because he's going to Philadelphia to a quarterback who only threw 16 touchdowns last year. But hell, what the hell? I took him in the third round at, what was that, pick
27?
Yeah.
Overall.
So he fell, and actually Dallas Goedert was taken before him, and I laughed. And
so, so one of the things we have to talk about, though, is our league skews different because we have the option to have up to two rounds worth of keepers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, so.
And you'd already started Kelce and Lamar Jackson. So here's exactly, the thing. Yeah. Dude, AJ Brown is going to have a better year than people think he's going to have. I think his year is going to be a lot more even. I think they scheme him touches. And I think he's playing with a bad quarterback, but he's playing with a better supporting cast. And like I said in one of our team previews, I meant it. Like, Jalen Hurts is accurate over the middle. AJ Brown runs a lot of routes over the middle. Jalen Hurts, great off play action. AJ Brown, great off play action.
And the more I think about it too, is this is not like this is Jalen Hurts' seventh year and he's coming off his seventh year where he only threw 16 touchdowns. This is still a quarterback that's in development. And hopefully for my sake with AJ Brown on my team this year, it translates into a stepping stone year for him, and he can maybe throw 25 or 35 touchdowns and have a better year. Philadelphia has set him up with some good guys to help him. So,
yep. So right before that, I uncharacteristically took T. Higgins over AJ Brown, the pick before it. I think T is a smash play this year, but the guy that I got on here that I'm super high on that I wanted to talk about for a minute that I'm getting everywhere, DeAndre Hopkins. Are you fucking kidding me?
You are getting him everywhere. And I think it's just people's apprehension because of the suspension. And I don't know. You've been fortunate enough to get Kyler Murray, so you're kind of stacking him.
I did not get Murray in this draft. He was reached on, but the plan was to get Murray and then Hopkins because I think
You got Murray in the charity league and you got him in something else too.
We have him in the,
that's right. Yeah.
The experts league. Yeah, so I love Hopkins this year at his draft position because we've already talked about this in terms of general fantasy strategy. You don't win your league in the first 6 weeks anyways.
That's true.
And I had already hammered Higgins, Amon-Ra, and I had Bateman as my keeper. So there, I'm making a strength stronger and still taking an obscene value pick at that spot. So you went in with the rookie wide receivers later on in the draft. Tell me about London and then Treylon Burks that you ended up taking a little bit near the middle end of the draft.
Yeah, that was my fifth or sixth to last pick. I just took a flyer on Burks. We'll see. We'll see what happens in Tennessee with him. But Drake London, I think, is going to be more relevant this year. He's basically the number one wide receiver outside of Kyle Pitts. So he's going to do better than Zacchaeus and all those other scrubs that are on Atlanta, at least in my opinion. He's got a chance to break out. But Burks was more of just like a, let's see what happens. I'll just take him here. Plus, it was the pick right before you, so I didn't want you to have him. But you ended up getting Tony anyway. So,
yeah, I mean, I love Kadarius Tony. I'm gonna be real with you. I think the upside is there, and I'll be honest with you. If you hadn't taken Burks, I would absolutely take Burks because I think,
right?
I think Burks is a chance to have incredibly high volume, just period. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he's going to be the guy. He's a sleeper. He's a major sleeper. Like, I feel like fantasy football, like we talked ourselves out of something, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And if you look at those other wide receivers that break out in rookie fantasy football, you think about talent plus situation, and Burks is clearly talented, and they're doing exactly what they did in Minnesota with Justin Jefferson. In Minnesota, they traded Stephon Diggs and drafted Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Tennessee traded A.J. Brown and got Treylon Burks.
Correct.
He was directed to directly replace A.J. Brown in that offense. Like, that's his job. You are the guy. You go be that fucking guy. So, like, I don't know. He's an explosive athlete. He's going to have situations where he gets to win games. He's going to start slow, but dude, how is that any different than what I just did with DeAndre Hopkins?
Right.
You're keeping a guy in the oven. You're waiting for him to get ready. And then when he explodes, your team is just so much better.
Which is one of the reasons why I took Alec Pierce too. I think he's going to be potential really good this year. All the defensive coverage is going to be all over Pittman in the beginning of the year. And Pierce is going to benefit because of that. Another reason why I took these three rookie wide receivers, London, Burks, and Alec Pierce, is because, as everyone knows, there's a way bigger wide receiver talent pool to pull from in the waiver wire during the year. So if at least one of these guys breaks out and becomes a starting wide receiver or flex for me, there's going to be way more options at the wide receiver waiver wire for me to drop one of those guys and pick up someone else.
Right.
And to take a dice roll on three guys, I mean, if one of them, like I said, works out, great. And the problem is in this league too, is we only have five or six bench spots. So
five.
Yeah. You got to take flyers like when you can and just play that waiver wire all the time.
Well, we have, when I look at your wide receiver room, you did almost like a modified zero RB build with your team. You kept Kelsey, you took Lamar, and then you went AJ Brown, AJ Dillon, Elijah Mitchell, and then you went Moore, Renfro, and London. I loved Michael Carter in the ninth. Yeah. I thought it was a great pick. But what I find most interesting is that you went floor with Renfro, so you have that stabilizing part of your wide receiver room or flex room, right, while we wait to see what those receivers are. You know, if you end if you like, so Dylan and Mitchell will be your running backs. You have Michael Carter on the bench, which I think is a great fucking play. You mm-hmm. got Kenny Gainwell. So you're planning on flexing receivers.
Right.
And since we do two wide receivers, two flexes, you've got Moore and Renfro in there, and you're hoping that London and Burks can come in right away. But if not, you can easily put in Carter or Gainwell and try to get some.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. It's a smart play, and it's going to be one of those things where you might start the season 1-3 or 2-3 or 4-4. But when the season starts to get tougher and the year goes on, you've got a team that's built for that.
Right. And like I said, with those three dice roll at rookie receiver, now if one of them goes off, I don't have to worry about the waiver wire. They're just on my team. So
right,
I don't have to worry about stretching for them. Or if I do start the season off 3-0 and those guys are going off that week, I'm not going to be able to get them on the waiver wire.
Right. Can I just tell you, though, the happiest I was during this entire draft was at the turn, the 2-3 turn, because you took Kelsey as your keeper. So you were the pick before me. The two picks before you were Herbert and Pittman. And as soon as Pittman went off, I got so excited because I knew you weren't going to go tight end, tight end. And right. that meant that I got Kyle Pitts in round two. And that's,
yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's so nice.
Hopefully he's your keeper next year. We'll see.
Yeah, I had McCaffrey at 2 overall, who I would have taken 1 overall, by the way. And I took Pitts over Saquon, and I would do it again. I'd take Pitts over Saquon any day of the week. 12 teams, if he's a top 3 tight end, I'll have an advantage over my opponents, you know, what, like 7 out of 10 times?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I'm excited about. That's my build. That's your build. So I think that's pretty much all we got. And so next week you'll be gone, but we're going to kind of roll out our recordings on Saturday to kind of be more of a preview based than a reaction.
Yeah. Cause we don't want to be talking 5 days removed from the week before.
Right.
That's just stupid. There's too many things that go on. So yeah, we want to do more of like a, let's look at what to look for tomorrow preview thing. Like, we can recap a little bit from the week before, but we can go over rankings. We can do a bunch of stuff.
I think that's a great idea. And so I'll be back solo next week. Ryan's going off the grid again. Going way up there.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, let me test the internet when I get to where I'm getting.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out off camera.
Yeah.
So next week's a little up in the air, but we'll come at you with week one previews and also a recap of the Bills Rams game and maybe even a couple sneaky DFS plays that we're talking about in week one.
Hell yeah. Very excited for the first week of football. Everyone have good luck with their leagues, their DFS, their bets.
Yeah, and thanks for coming, and have a good night, everybody. Have a great week.
Happy New Year football.
New Year football. Good night, everyone.
See ya. Later on, he was investigated as youth homes for corporal punishment.